Exodus chapter 33. My name is Sonny Pierce. I pour water on the hands of the heavy bishop in Dyersburg, Tennessee, and he eats a lot of cake. I pour a lot of water. Pour a lot of water. To the dismay of Miss Darby. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Let's pray. God, I ask that you'll get the preeminence and that you'll get pleasure out of this sermon. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So first we see, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend." You see that Moses is listening. Then after this, you see, "And he turned again into the camp," and you see he does something with what the Lord tells him. He goes and he leads the people. And then you see this young man, Joshua, who's just standing around the tabernacle and he's learning. He's learning. And that's kind of our role as young men, is just stay around the tabernacle as much as we can to just learn. And I remember this past revival that Dr. Peacock came and did at our church. I remember me and Elena and my father-in-law sang, and Brother Roger come up to me afterwards and said, "Man, that song was really good," which is like, you know, if I'm throwing the football in the yard with somebody and Peyton Manning says, "Hey, man, that's a good throw." It's like, thanks, man. And he said, "But why do you put your hands in your pockets when you sing?" And I said, "I don't know. It's like the second or third time I've done it." He said, "Do you put your hands in your pockets while you preach?" And I said, "Nope, not at all." And he said, "Just take them out of your pockets." I said, "Okay, what am I supposed to do with them then?" And he said, "Just put them by your side, fold them in front, put them behind your back. It doesn't matter. Just don't put them in your pockets, okay?" I said, "Okay, I appreciate that." And I learned a little something. Now notice he didn't give me any tips about any of my actual vocal ability. He saw that was hopeless. He said, "The guy needs help. What can I do? I mean, man, just take the hands out of your pockets. Could you just do that? That's about as far as we can go." But man, you know, he was just helping me, and I've learned a lot of things around the tabernacle. I really have, just watching older men and getting tips and stuff. And right here, Joshua is in a spot where he's getting to see some things about Moses and getting to witness some things. But you know, unfortunately, that trend ends too early. If you remember in the life of Moses, there's a event that's coming up in his life where the Lord tells him to go up to the top of the mount. He says, "I want you to take the rod, the one you smote the rock with last time, but I don't want you to smite the rock this time. I'd like you to just walk up to the rock and just speak, and the water will come out and the people will be fed, and I'll be satisfied with that." And instead, Moses goes up before the congregation, and in his rage and in his fury, he doesn't say anything to the rock. Instead, he takes that opportunity to say something to the people. When he should have just been speaking to the rock and the water would have came out and everybody would have been satisfied. Instead, he wants to take that, you know, and just give these people my little commentary on what's going on. He actually calls them rebels because, you know, they're just such bad, wicked people that they're thirsty and they say, "Can I have some water?" They're just so bad. And so in that moment, he takes that rod, which symbolizes the authority of God in his life that God's called him to do. It's his God-given authority. And he uses it to smite, not once, but twice, when he should have just been speaking to the rock. Amen. Now, there's a time for this public demonstration and display where you rear back and you hit the rock. But that first time he did that, if you remember, the Bible says the Lord was standing on the rock. Yeah. And so when he hit it and everybody turned and looked, they saw, oh, there's the Lord. And then he provides that water. And this time, though, we're not going to smack nothing. Nobody's going to be looking. I just kind of want you to go up there and talk, and then all of a sudden this water is going to flow down, and then people will get what they need. Is it okay if you do that? Well, that would seem like compromise. To just change and not do as much, but just start kind of saying stuff and trying to help people. And what I have seen as this young man around the tabernacle. Now, again, I'm not saying anything or preaching anything. This may not have anything to do with anything. Or it just might. I've seen where the pulpit, that symbol of God's authority, becomes this place where we can just rear back the rod when it's really just time to speak, and we just want to bust people with it. Because this generation, they're just so passive, and they're just so wicked, and they're just so bad, and they're just so not like you were. Do you remember Moses was in that group that come out of Egypt, come way out of the world? We just kind of grew up in the desert. You know what I mean? I never had a needle in my arm. I know we're real wicked. No, not like you were, because you know y'all were back there where y'all would really get stuff done. We'd smite Egyptians and stuff like that. And Hebrews would flinch when we walked by because we might wreck them too. I might just walk up on you and just preach a sermon at you, you know, at McDonald's or something. Just stand up, start yelling at people with signs. I might just do that. But, you know, could it be that maybe what we really need is, unfortunately, there's a chance. I hope not, but there's a chance that this generation of Joshua's will have to unfortunately step in and reluctantly take a position. Now, I don't want to speak for all the young men in here, but we don't want positions. We're not looking. We have no aspiration. We have no ambition. We are not trying to ascend. And if you are a young man that's doing that, you're at the wrong place. Amen. Or maybe you're at the right place. Just stay around the tabernacle and just learn some stuff. We don't want any of that. We would like that, as the Bible says about Moses, his eyes never grew dim and his natural force didn't abate. But because he took it upon himself to use something that God had given him, and at one point he felt like we did as we come in the pulpit, and now all of a sudden it's just something I can take and hit people with. And he loses it all too soon. And now Joshua has to awkwardly, in chapter 1, have this conversation with the Lord where he tells him, listen, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Just be strong. Be courageous. We'll get through it. Moses, my servant, is dead. And then you see all these stories coming up in Joshua's life. One of them specifically, do you remember where the sin with Achan? It's a very simple problem. This guy sinned. You just address it and you move on. But see, Moses wasn't there now and I didn't know how to handle it. And so I'm freaking out. And then Joshua says this. He says, you know, man, maybe we should have just stayed on the other side of Jordan. Maybe I should have just done this, or maybe I should have just done that, because I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing right now, because Moses, you should be here right now. Or then those men of Gibeon that come up and they make this little league with Joshua, and he doesn't know any better. He's just trying to be kind, just trying to be nice, and he gets deceived. It'd have been nice if Moses was there saying, hey, that's not really the crowd you need to be around. Just stay over here with these. No, I wouldn't really hook up with them. Don't worry about that. And I thank God for the fact that I have somebody in Brother Dennis that tells me about some of that stuff. To where when situations come up, I've got somebody that I can look to. And he can help me through it. And if you're not careful, we're talking about the importance of faithful service. We'll neglect the influence of faithless service. Because you've already done so much over those 40 years in the desert that who really cares what I say when I get up there now? And there's just young men watching you who do not want to take your spot. We're trying to learn. Think about this. Earlier this week, I come here Wednesday and I had a big patch on my neck, a Band-Aid, before I cut myself shaving, which I do basically every week and a half to 2 weeks. And I have a spot come up on my neck because I'm 27 years old and I have not quite figured out how to shave. I'd like to say it was a one-time deal, but it's not. I have many white shirts that I've had to throw away from little blood stains just because I'm not paying attention. I rush it. It's because I cannot grow a beard. It's something to do with how spiritual I am, but I don't know. I hadn't figured out what it is yet. Nonetheless, and so I'm dealing with that. Brother Basora was like, hey, man, watch out for those vampires. I said, you ought to see the other guy. But man, I'm 27 years old. I do not know quite how to shave yet. People think I'm 18. They mistake me and my wife as brother and sister. Whenever we have our daughter with us, they assume our mom and dad went out on date night and we got baby duty. So for a perspective, I'm not really ready. So could you just stay in the spot and do what you used to do with the burning bush and just listen and go lead your people so that we can just learn and not have to try to figure this out? Please. Amen.